This is Jeff J. Brown, China Rising Radio, Sinoland, and I am going all the way across the Atlantic Ocean down to the equator in Central America to Panama to say hello to my good friend Don Hank. How are you doing, Don?
Okay, how are you, Jeff?
I'm doing great. I think this is Don's fourth show. Every time he comes on, they're just brilliant, and he knows so much. He speaks, reads, and writes fluent Russian, and of course he's in Panama, and so he speaks Spanish. He also spent 3 years in Taiwan province learning Chinese, so he's quite the polyglot. But his and he also has a very extreme passion for Palestine and the plight of the Palestinians. So we'll be covering some really interesting information today. But so welcome, great to have you back, Don.
Thanks. Great to be here.
Hey, Don, just give us, you are on Ukrainian and Russian websites all day and night. And your Substack every day is like a newspaper. It's so complete. It has so much information. Just give us what do you think's going on in Ukraine? What do you think's going on the line of the line of contact in Ukraine with Russia? Take it away. A lot of us would like to know.
Okay. Recently, another wonder weapon was added to the Russian arsenal. First of all, they have these tremendous hypersonic missiles that cannot be shot down. Of course, the Ukrainian lying news agencies all say, oh, we shot down another one of those hypersonic missiles, which is scientifically impossible. Which is okay, and that gets picked up here in the West, which copy-pastes everything that they say. All these lies get repeated here in the West.
Yeah.
So they had these hypersonics. What else do they have? They have air superiority. They knocked out almost every single aircraft in the Ukrainian arsenal. And they have superiority over the entire West in military industrial production. They can make at least three times as many artillery shells as the entire West. All of the United States, which makes li very little, all of Europe. And this, the experts tell us. Military experts tell us that the most important factor in whether you win or lose a war is the number of shells that you expend on the battlefield compared to the number that your enemy has expends. And this is a constant. They can't get more than like three, one third of the shells that Russia expends. So these are tremendous advantages that Russia has. It has the air superiority, the hypersonics, and now they've added this thing called a bomb, a family of bombs called the FAB.
Yeah, the fabs, yeah.
Fabs, right. And they have the FAB 500, which is big enough as it is. Then they have the 1500, and they have this fabulous 3-ton bomb. And it can just blow up bunkers, underground bunkers, for example. You just drop a 3-ton bomb on that, and you're going to kill everybody in there.
So the 500 and the 1500 and the 3000 represent kilograms. That's 3,000 kilograms, 1,500 kilograms, 500 kilograms, which is already huge.
I don't know if that refers to the amount of TNT. I don't think it does. But I mean, big enough to do the job. So they've got all this stuff going for them. So that right now, because of the use of the new bomb and everything else that they have, and they also have about three times as many manned troops as Ukraine. Now Ukraine is adding these new mobilized, newly mobilized men, which means they're kidnapped off the street
Yeah,
and
that's
forced, screaming and kicking to the front where they know they're going to die, or they believe they're going to die. And by the way, these Ukrainian troops are surrendering in droves. They try to stop them. They have these. There's a battalion known as the Kraken. The Kraken, these old sea monsters called the Kraken. They call themselves that. These guys don't get involved in the fight. They just stand behind the regular troops, and they shoot them in the back if they think they're going to try to surrender.
That's how you build esprit de corps and morale in your troops.
Yeah, nicely stated.
Tell me about the F-16s. What's going to happen?
Well, that's a good thing that you mentioned that. This morning I read that they spotted an F-16 flying over Odessa, but it was not headed to anywhere in Ukraine. It was headed out of Ukraine toward Moldova. And this tells me something. They don't really trust keeping F-16s in country, in the Ukraine. In fact, they don't send them, they absolutely will not send them anywhere near the front lines, because the front lines are just replete with Russian air defenses, and they will shoot them down in no time at all.
With their S-300s and S-500s and
400s.
the 400s,
And the
unbelievable.
Pantsir, they have the Pantsir, which is a hybrid between cannons and rockets. So they have everything. They've got layered defenses. And of course, the Ukrainians know this. They're not going to get anywhere near. I don't think, I personally wonder whether they'll actually ever get one off the ground. Because not only all this, but the Russians are also busy plowing up. That's the words they use.
In Russian, they call it plowing.
By plowing the airfields. They drop these huge Iskander missiles, and now they can't get close enough to use their bombs because that would get the pilots in danger. But they use these Iskander missiles, and the Iskander missile right now, they've stepped up production of this thing, hypersonic. So they have lots of Iskanders, and they're working all the time,
Yeah,
every day.
I see your daily report. I mean, they're just not a day that goes by that they're not pounding Ukraine with hypersonic missiles. It's just it must be devastating. But what I let me ask you this. I personally, I'm frustrated. It's that Putin, I think, probably has the patience of Job. And they just, and I'm sure his, and it's not just him. I'm sure, he listens to his military men. He listens to his generals. He listens to his military committee. And I'm sure they've agreed to do this just, a couple of 300 meters every day, or, 100 meters today, 150 meters tomorrow. And they're just taking village after village after village, but why so slow? What do you think the deal is?
Oh, I thought you were going to say, why so fast?
Yeah,
Because it was a lot slower before.
that's
But now
true.
that they've got the F-16s coming and they've got newly mobilized men adding to the troops, they're actually going a lot faster than before. I don't know what I mean by before, because I have no sense of how many months it was before they were going at a slower pace, but things are really picking up now, and it's a 1200 kilometer front line.
Yeah, line of contact, yeah.
It's just really I really think they're doing the very level best that they can, under those circumstances.
Are they coming in
And
from the north to from what is it, Begorov, the province to the
was it
north?
Belgorod?
Yeah, Belgorod. Yeah, are they coming down from there to go to try to what's that city up there? Is that,
Kharkov.
yeah, Kharkov? Are they
Kharkov. Yeah.
are they coming in from the north at all?
I'm pretty sure they are. Yeah. In
Okay.
fact, they're hitting Kharkov, and they're also going to another oblast or region to the north of Kharkov, and that would be Sumy.
Okay,
They're
Sumy,
actually going
okay.
in there, and they're using, I think, some of their wonderful bombs because they can go right up to the border, release the bomb, and then go back and
Okay.
avoid being shot down. So they actually they're moving very fast, really.
What
But
about,
it takes.
go
Go
ahead.
ahead.
No, you go ahead. It takes what?
Well, it takes a lot to knock out a village, a whole village, or a whole, especially a big city. And because what happens is that the Ukrainians go in there and they take over every single high rise, every single home. They kick out the inhabitants and they move in with their equipment and their cannons or artillery. And so the Russians had this huge job of going from almost from one building to another to knock them out.
And these are
And that takes
civilian,
time.
these are civilian buildings, like
Yeah,
apartments,
but
and
the civilians are all gone.
yeah, the civilians are
They
all
kicked them
gone.
out.
Wow. What about reports that the Ukrainians are using chemical weapons slash biological weapons? That's been reported by the Russians. Has there been
Yeah.
any? Do the Russians have the equipment that they need to try to protect themselves, or how's that working?
I don't know. I only see the headlines. I don't read beyond the headlines because, I mean, if they have biological weapons, then they do. And that's, not much more detail that you need than that.
But do you think they are using them? I think they've been talking about they've been actually been using chemical weapons now for over a year.
I'm not picking up on any of that, but I my focus is on the airstrikes.
Okay, on the
But
airstrikes.
when I'm
Okay.
reading through those things, I often accidentally come across the front line information also.
Okay.
And I like to listen to Alexander Mercouris.
Yeah, he's very, very good. He's very,
Yeah.
very good. Let me ask you this. There's a new minister of defense, and he surprised a lot of people because he's actually a numbers guy. He's a brilliant economist and a brilliant, he's brilliant in finance and economics. And then I noticed that they're now bringing in for questioning and arresting several high-level officers, even generals, I think, in the Russian army for corruption. So, do you think that's connected? Do you think that's maybe why Putin asked him to get in there to clean up the military?
I think it's why, right?
Okay. All right.
But that's a very sad story. Even Shoigu, why is Shoigu involved in this? Is he corrupt too? I really don't know. And they're not going to tell you too much. They're not going to talk about their own problems.
For those of you who don't know, Shoigu was the former Minister of Defense, and he was there for quite a while. He's actually a Buddhist. He's from what is it, Tuga? What's the name of that, the province where he's from on the Chinese border? Tuva.
Yeah, I
Is
forget.
it Tuva? Yeah, Tuva. He's from Tuva, Russia, which is Buddhist. So he's actually a Buddhist. But it sounds it's but he's still in the government someplace. He's got some role. I forgot where he is now, but
Yeah, I don't know either.
I saw a little quick video. Maybe it was from your website, from your Substack that I clicked on, and the Minister of Defense, the new Minister of Defense, was talking to these guys about this little project, and there was like a plan up on a wall and stuff, and he was, and of course it was being subtitled in English because I can't understand a word of Russian, he was saying, "You're responsible for this project, and if you fail, it's your fault, and if you go over budget, it's your fault." So I guess, and he said, "You will pay a price. You know,
Well,
you're responsible." So I,
that's
apparently,
good. That's good.
apparently he apparently he's clean he's cl he's cleaning up the military. Of course, that's something that the U.S. and NATO need too, because it's that's the biggest corruption snake pit in the world is NATO. So what do you think is going to happen? I mean, you know, we're the summer's, the summer's winding down, winter's approaching. What do you think's gonna what just what do you are the is are they going to continue the same few hundred meters a day, village by village, village by village? I noticed on the map in on Southfront.org. I'm sure you probably have better. I'm sure you have better maps than I do. But they're not moving at all towards Odessa, or are they? And I'm just not seeing it.
I think they're going to sneak up on Odessa, and I don't think there's going to be much fighting because Odessa has a lot of pro-Russians partisans, and I think that's what they're saying they're going to do. They're going to take it slowly and just kind of inch their way in there.
Okay.
Same with Kharkov. They may not even try to take Kharkov at all, which is a city, but they're taking Kharkov Oblast, the region.
And why would they not want to take the city? Would they just let the people rebel against the Kiev government, or how would that work?
Well, they have their ways. Russia likes to sit back and let them come toward to them offensively and stay on the defensive so they can stay alive
Okay,
and kill
yeah.
more Ukrainians. That's their basically, that's been the way they've handled this war so far.
Well, I know that they one of the reasons that they move so slowly is that the Russian military goes out of its way to not hurt civilians.
Yeah, and not hurt
And
their own people, their
Yeah,
own soldiers.
and their own soldiers. So they're trying to protect the civilian Ukrainian slash Russian population, in the Donbass. But what do you think is going to happen if when they finally get to what was the line of the official political boundary for Donbass? Do you think they would stop there, or are they going to keep going towards Kiev?
I don't think they'll stop. The thing is, they have to denazify and they have to demilitarize. That means they have to do a lot more than what they're pretending to do or claiming that they're going to do.
Okay.
I actually can see all of Ukraine at some point being full of peacekeepers, Russian peacekeepers. I
Yeah.
don't think they're going to let those people roam free. They have to clamp down. They have to keep them under their thumb. But that's my idea. They keep you keep reading about how the Hungarians are going to take part of Ukraine, the Poles,
Poland is going to take
Romania,
the
and
old Galicia, and yeah.
But I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't see that happening because one of the reasons they're there is because they need a buffer state. Or what they call a sanitary zone. And that's very important to the Russians. I don't see how they could put any part of Ukraine in anyone else's hands, especially a NATO member.
Yeah, the problem is if there's one square meter someplace, that's still officially Ukrainian, that NATO's going to keep sending in arms and military, missiles and planes and tanks and everything else.
Can't happen.
It seems
I
to
don't
me
think Putin will
like,
let that happen.
yeah, it seems like they have to get the Russian border all the way to Poland, Slovakia, Hungary. Man, we're going down the map. Romania
Slovakia.
yes, and then Moldova. To be literally Russia to NATO. Because if there's any Ukraine in the middle, then they're just going to be continuing to just pour in arms, to attack Russia. So, but well, I guess it'll be interesting to see how it. What I keep expecting is that it's so dire for the Ukrainians. There was even talk that a couple of the generals, maybe about a month ago, were telling Zelensky that they wanted to basically stop fighting and cut a deal with the Russians, that they were tired of their men being slaughtered like dogs. And I just keep thinking, there's got to be, will there ever be like just a breaking point, when the Ukrainians just collapse and then basically just give up? I mean, I don't know. What do you
Yeah,
think?
there's going to be something. It might happen pretty soon, actually. They're either going to collapse, or the military might take out Zelensky. I don't know.
Of course, for those of you who don't know, Zelensky is, under the control of a bunch of Nazis, the Azov, red, the Azov people, and all these SS, all these, SS people from the that have roots in Nazism going back to World War II. And so
Not to mention the Nazis in Washington.
that's for sure. That's for sure. Well, I am optimistic, but it's so frustrating. I look at that. Is there a better map, a better map than southfront.org? Which one do you use? That shows the line of contact. Like a daily update on the line of contact. Do you have a favorite map that you use?
No, I actually don't. I probably should follow your advice and go with Southfront.
Yeah, it's so frustrating, but they aren't. But you are right. There, six months ago, a year ago, there was just like they would go for weeks, and almost no advancement. It would take him, weeks, to clear out a village or whatever. And now it's almost like a village every day. So,
But it was always lots of advancement in the sense of enemy killed.
KIA
And that
killed in
was the
action.
main goal at one time.
Well, let's shift to the greatest humanitarian catastrophe, probably in the history, at least, of our modern era, and that is Palestine, and what I call U.S. Rahel, Yisrael. That's how I spell it: Yisrael, Yisrael. The U.S., the U.S. Israeli, genocide machine. You follow very closely, and just, what do you feel like is going to happen after the embarrassing speech that Netanyahu gave in front of, and the fourth time, and he got more standing ovations than Jesus Christ. And just tell us what you think is gonna happen. I mean, things are moving fast. Hania was killed in Tehran, and then another gentleman from Hezbollah, high ranking, was killed, I think, in Lebanon.
Shuka,
Just
one
let us
shuka.
yeah okay yeah exactly So what do you think is going to happen?
Well, I don't think Netanyahu will ever change. He's good. Whatever he's doing now, he's going to continue to do it. Is our
And
time about up?
no, we can talk as long as we want. There's no time.
Oh, okay.
I'm just pouring some tea. This is my beat up thermos, and I'm finishing my tea. No, we don't. There's
Oh,
no time limit. There's no time limit, unless you
you're a
need.
good Chinese.
Unless you, yeah. This is Chinese tea, by the way. And
Is it what kind of tea is that?
this is a special white tea from Hunan Province. A
Oh,
special
okay.
white tea from Hunan Province, Mao Zedong's home province, and it's quite good. Well, have you heard these stories that there are IL, what are the IL-69s, the Russian military transport plane? I think it's called the IL-69 or the IL-72 or something like that.
Yeah, the illusions.
Yeah, the illusion, yeah, that there are n a number of IL-60 illusions that are landing in Tehran from Russia. Have you heard about
I hope
that?
it's true. I did catch wind of that somewhere. I read about it, and I just hope it's true. I'm sure that the Russians aren't going to admit it. So I won't be able to find a lot of information about that, but I hope they send a lot of air defense systems.
Equipment, yes, S-500s and also a few Iskanders too, some hyper, although of course Iran has its own hypersonic missiles that are very, very good, that were not intercepted the last time they dropped a few on the Zionist entity. And well, do you see, you say Netanyahu is not going to change. So I guess we'll just have to wait and see what happens with the response of the Iranians. I understand that apparently the supreme leader, Khomeini, has said that he wants a forceful response, not just, dropping 10 or 15 missiles like they did the last time and took out, some military air bases. And and I think the leadership in Iran want a muscular response. And then if Hezbollah gets involved, it would be quite a show, to say the least. I wouldn't want to be living in Israel. What do you know about? Go ahead. You go ahead.
I was going to say, I don't know if you knew about the bunker. Netanyahu's new bunker.
No, I hadn't heard about that. What about it?
Oh, okay. Well, supposedly he's building or has built a bunker in Jerusalem because he's going the way of Adolf Hitler.
Oh,
He's
with
going.
his bunker. It with his bunker.
Yeah, he wants to die in the bunker. And I think Iran is, if Iran finds out where this thing is, they may probably already know actually, they'll be hitting on it.
Yeah.
And I think they're aiming to kill him.
Well, they should. They should. I don't know if it would really change anything, because the whole leadership are a bunch of psychopaths.
But he's
And
the worst.
I'm sure Khomeini and the Russian and the Iranian president are well protected too, and I'm sure they're probably down in bunkers too. Just
I
to,
hope so.
what have you heard? There's been some rumors that Iran already has a nuclear weapon. What do you think?
Well, I posted an article on that. But it didn't, there was nothing conclusive about it. Apparently they have a bunker way down, 80, is it 80 meters? I think 80 meters down into the earth. which is 20 meters more than the biggest excavator bomb that Washington has. So they can just stay there as long as they want. And one commentator thinks they might be building a bomb there. Maybe they already have one there. I don't, hard to say.
A lot of people don't know that one of the Iran has very sophisticated tunnels. They've got hundreds of kilometers of tunnels,
Oh, yeah.
and they've got all these hypersonic missiles, and of course the same thing with Hezbollah, the Iranian ally in southern Lebanon, also has hundreds of kilometers of tunnels and well, maybe not hypersonic missiles, but very sophisticated missiles. And a lot of people don't know this, but they got they their mentors are North Korea. North Korea works with the Iranians and to help. And of course, then the Iranians teach Hezbollah. It's definitely not something that is advertised because they don't, they don't want to give, North Korea the credit. They want the world to think that North Korea is backward and stupid and, the hermit. But yeah, going back a number of years, North Korea has been working with the Iranians on their tunnel, and that's why they've got such good tunnels, because the North Koreans are the best tunnel builders in the world. And I'm sure that, and I'm because of the Korean War, and then of course North Korea has hypersonic missiles and some of the best missiles, out there. And so they've really helped a lot, for the Axis of Resistance, to fight NATO.
I've always suspected that, but I didn't realize it that there was anything known about that.
Let me ask you that also. There's rumors that North Korea has been supplying Russia with artillery shells. Do you think that's true?
Yeah, I do. I
Okay.
believe I've read that in Russian. I think that's true.
Okay. Okay. Just to add to their arsenal as they ramp up production, I guess, because well, and now since Putin's last visit to North Korea, they now have a mutual defense treaty. So if anybody attacks North Korea, Russia will come to the aid of North Korea. And of course,
Wow.
since 1961, North Korea has had a mutual defense treaty with China. So if anybody attacks North Korea, they will have both China and China and Russia to answer to.
Oh, yeah, but of
So,
course, Washington can deal with anybody. They can have
yeah,
20 wars going all over the
that's
world.
right. Keep
Won't
printing
faze
money. So I think that's one of the reasons that they just try to ignore North Korea, because they realize that it's to give them any kind of propaganda ammunition or whatever for. And of course, the North Koreans would deny it anyway, but that they're helping out, Iran and Hezbollah. I don't know if there's any North Koreans in Lebanon, but I'm sure there have been, and maybe still are, North Koreans in Iran. And it's not a problem because they can just fly across Russia,
Yeah.
not even have to go into Western airspace,
Nobody gonna stop
to get there.
you.
What do you think about Yemen? I haven't heard a lot about what's going on in Yemen lately. Or has that huge attack by the United States and Britain on their oil facility, their oil port facility, has that knocked them back a whack, or are they still hitting ships in the Red Sea?
I don't know of any recent attacks by the Houthis on ships, but they haven't given up by any means, and they won't, because these are resistance fronts. They're one of the resistance fronts, and they don't give up. If you got just one man standing, he'll fight.
Exactly. Well, I tell you what, thank you for the update on Russia and Ukraine, and any other observations that I missed that you'd like to pitch in before we say goodbye, as far as Oh, let me ask you, I do want to ask you this. That's one thing I did want to ask you. You know, you and I, you know, well, at least I am frustrated at how slowly, you know, Russia is advancing, at least comparatively slowly, you know, for what, you know, when you think of the classic, you know, NATO, you know, where they just flatten everything and kill everybody and, you know, over huge areas. But do you when you're on the Russian websites and reading what the Russians have to say, are they getting impatient? Are they, you know, like, come on, man, let's, you know, let's get this show over. You know, do you sense or feel any impatience among the Russians?
I think the only and only thing like that that I have seen would have been on forums. None of us, maybe in English even, where some Russian will chime in and say, "When are we going to get this thing over with?" But I don't know. It would be nice to know what the
Well,
Russian what's going through their minds.
because it sure does, but maybe because of Russian history and being attacked incessantly for the last 1,000 years, maybe they're more patient and more visionary than a typical Westerner like me, who wants, you know, wants results now. So
Yeah, I'm sure
anyway.
they are. I'm sure they're very patient. They were very patient in Leningrad for
Yeah,
how
that's
many
for sure.
years?
Yeah, that's for sure. Yeah. Well,
Well,
listen, Don, go ahead. Please,
one more thing I did want to add.
we've got all the time in the world. Don't worry about it. And this is
Okay.
totally unscripted. Don and I prepared nothing. This is totally off the cuff. Go ahead.
Yeah, that script you sent me, I lost it. I it fell in the waste can something. No, just kidding. But just one item. The electrical grid in Ukraine, it's dire. They are down to, they have lost 70% of their power. So if you go to Ukraine, visit somebody, go and flip the light switch, nothing's going to happen. It's a total national blackout, and I don't see how they can keep going,
Because that's what
even with that
Russia's,
alone.
Russia, that's what Russia's also been concentrating on, is electrical grids and energy systems, and to make it difficult for them to execute war. So Eric Arno, one of the members of the China Writers Group, has a friend who lives in Ukraine, and he just contacted her and said, you know, how's it? I think she may be in Kiev, I'm not sure, but she didn't have very good no, she didn't have very good news. She said they've only got electricity for a few hours a day, and there's, you know, long cutoffs,
Yeah.
and
Does Arno have a blog
on
on Substack?
Substack. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, I read that. I didn't know
Yeah,
how to pronounce his name.
Arno. Yeah. It's actually Lithuanian Russian. His relatives go back to pre-war. I think it's Lithuania, and so it's been, you know, anglicized, and also abbreviated. The crazy thing, did you listen to that video of Richard Medhurst, who lives in Syria? And he did like a 10-minute video where he listed all the names of the Israeli leaders, you know, going back, you know, decades, and
Of
their
the Israeli.
Israeli leaders, and their real names. You know, Benjamin Netanyahu is not really
Yeah.
Benjamin Netanyahu. His real
Oh
name
no.
is his real name is Benjamin Milekowski. And
Yeah, he's Polish, I knew
he's
that.
Polish. None of the 90% of the people in Israel are not Semites. They're Europeans and Americans
Right. And
and
the
Canadians and Australians. They're Westerners.
the DNA studies that the Israelis themselves are doing show that if you have a group of group of Jews here, other group here, other group there, within the group, the DNA is similar. But you go from group to group, nothing. There's no such thing as a Jew.
The real Semites are the Arabs. Now, those are real Semites.
They go back a ways. In fact, maybe they can trace their bloodline to Abram, Father Abraham.
Abraham.
But the Jews can't.
Well, listen, my friend. Take care in Panama. One day I'd love to come visit you.
Okay.
And you're welcome to, we're moving to Taiwan province.
Oh, that's interesting.
Hope to be there by the end of September.
What made you choose Taiwan?
Because we're too old for mainland China. Once you get over 60, it's really hard to get a resident permits in mainland China are tied to work permits. So you have to get a work permit first, and then you can get a resident permit based on your work permit. Well, if you're over 60 and you're a foreigner, you're not supposed to be working. Now, there are cases where people who are already there and they turn 60, and if they're and they'll let them stay usually until they're 69. If they insist on staying there and staying with the same job and not leaving that job and et cetera, or they've got a company or whatever. But when you but and I just turned 70, and so there's no way there's no way we could get work permits. So Taiwan province, of course, which is a part of China, does not have such onerous requirements, to live there. And so we're gonna live in Taiwan, up in the up in the foothills of the mountains in the central part of the country.
Oh,
And
I love Taiwan.
where were you when you were there? Oh,
Taipei.
you
I
were in
studied at
Taipei.
the Goyu what's that in English? The Mandarin Training Center. I was there. You have to be studying Chinese or they won't let you stay usually.
Well,
Maybe in
you
your
can.
case, it's different.
Well, we're going to get one resident permit because we created an LLC, or we are creating an LLC and a limited liability company, and with a small amount of capital. We don't have enough capital for two resident permits, but we'll have enough capital, the amount of money needed for one resident permit. So we'll have one permit, and in any case, you can stay for 3 months, in Taiwan with no visa. So a
Well,
lot of people actually, a lot of people live there, and then on the 89th day, they go to the Philippines for, a weekend, or they go to South Korea, or they go to Japan, or they go to Saipan, or they go to mainland China or Hong Kong or Vietnam. And there's direct flights to all these places. And then they stay for the weekend or take a little vacation there, come back, and then they're good for another 90 days. And then they
Well,
just
thanks for the information. I was thinking of trying to
get back
move to
there.
China, but now I know I can't.
How old are you, Don?
I'm 80.
You're 80.
Yeah.
Well, there's nothing stopping you from going to Taiwan. You have an American passport, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. You can go to Taiwan, stay for 89 days, and then take a weekend trip, out of the out off the island. It's a one-hour flight to Shanghai. You go to Shanghai for the weekend and come back and keep doing that 90 day, 90 day, 90 day, 90 day.
Well, I would do that, yeah. But I
So,
think you would have to study or something. In my case, I would just go back to school.
but with our company, we're okay because
Yeah.
we will own our LLC.
Yeah, I understood that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that protects us from, having to do. That's like Thailand. You can't get a resident visa unless you're either studying Thai boxing, or studying Thai cuisine. And
Okay.
then they will only allow you to stay for 3 years, and then you have to leave.
Oh.
It seems to be a little bit more flexible in Taiwan. And of course, now with the there's no visa needed to go to mainland China for 2 weeks. Americans, French, 50 something countries now can go to can now go to China for 2 weeks with no visa. So we can hop on a plane and be in Beijing in 2 or 3 hours and spend a couple of weeks in mainland China, and then go back to Taiwan province.
I understand a lot of Taiwanese are getting work permits and they're living in mainland China.
1 million,
Jeez.
almost 5% of the population is in mainland China, and they're not driving taxis and washing dishes.
Right.
These are the CEO these are CEOs.
Yeah.
The Taiwanese are very savvy, of course, very
Yeah.
savvy business people, very highly educated. And so the Taiwanese that are living in China are engineers, scientists, business owners, factory owners, CEOs,
Learned that from watching Chinese movies on Netflix. I
Yeah,
love it. Their movies are great.
yeah. So
Yeah, it's just there's nothing woke. They're not woke. They're
there's
just
no woke, and there's no gratuitous sex.
Yeah.
So no,
None at all, actually.
Taiwan is literally, fused at the hip, with mainland China, just like South Korea. They cannot survive without mainland China. And those million Taiwanese, and of course that includes their family. There's they you know they're, they That's the wives and the kids too.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's the if those people had to leave mainland China, the Taiwanese economy would collapse in days, because those are the factories that are producing, manufacturing stuff for the Taiwanese,
Yeah.
businesses and et cetera. So,
I wonder about the semiconductor business. I wonder if they're not just, there's got to be something going on there that we don't know about.
A little bit of technology maybe bleeding across the Taiwanese Straits
Maybe,
to the
yeah.
mainland.
I sure hope they don't destroy the factory.
Well, they say the Americans will if it means keeping the mainland Chinese from getting taking possession of it. And
Yeah.
but you know now mainland China is producing five nanometer chips, so
Whoa.
they don't even really need them anymore. I mean, they're
I didn't know
producing
that. Yeah, you don't need
five to
anything smaller than that.
five to seven nanometers, which is as good as
Wow.
what the Dutch have. And now they're working on 3 nanometers, and then of course they've come up with these new substrate. It's not silicon, but it's other substrates that the Chinese are using, and they don't even need the Dutch printing machine, the chip machines to make chips anymore. So
Great, great to hear. And they've got these cars. They're making cars, and several different companies are making automobiles.
In China,
Yeah,
Oh, there's
and
over
the
a
down.
there's over a hundred there's over a hundred there's over 100 brands. I mean, 100 models of electric
Good,
cars,
good, good.
of
We've got
electric cars.
the Chang'an, we've got the Geely,
Yeah.
and a number of others
Oh, here
that you see. And
in Panama.
they have a good reputation. It's supposed to be very good engines here.
Probably also BYD. BYD is the biggest. BYD, just three letters, BYD. That's the biggest EV, the EV manufacturer in the world.
Oh, EV, yeah.
No,
I don't
EV,
know
yeah,
if that.
no, EV for electronic, for electric vehicles. Yeah.
But I don't know whether these are electric or not.
Yeah,
I just,
probably not.
they're beautiful cars, just beautiful.
And they're much cheaper than Europe and the United
That's
States.
right. And they run like a top.
All right, Mr. Hank, thank you
Okay.
so much.
Thanks a
This
lot.
we have just had a wonderful conversation with Don Hank in Panama, Central America. Russian expert, speaks, reads, and writes fluent Russian, spends days of his life poring over Ukrainian and Russian websites and information, and has his wonderful Substack. Everybody should subscribe to it. I do every day. Oh, and by the way, you actually put me in your last Substack. You put a link in there of something I did. I already forgot what it is. But anyway, thanks a million. And I and I and
Oh,
I'll
you're well.
and I put Don as a guest post in China Writers Group. As often as I can. So anyway, on with the good fight. And I'll let you know when this is done, and then we can, and then you can cross post it on Substack. All right.
Okay, Jeff.
I'll turn off the recording and stop.